Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Bob Iger holds a town hall meeting answering questions. Characters are sometimes few and far between.
Candlelight prep has started. Progress is happening in Toontown. Producer James has a discussion for us and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the DL Weekly podcast. Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of November 30th, 2022. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank all of the current weekly tiers, including Shoshana R, Angel T, Joy W, and Mark S, for supporting the show. Without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures that the podcast will continue and that we can make it to the parks more often to bring you the latest news and information right from the park. If you would like to become an official weekly tier, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, it's that time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our journey this week in Walt Disney World, where we are learning more about Epcot's International Festival of the Holidays. From November 25th through December 30th, Epcot transforms into what it does best these days. It's a festival center packed with activities. First up, the attractions. Living with the Land has been getting some attention amongst the mega Disnerds of late. This season, it gets an even bigger holiday infusion than ever before, with plenty of lights throughout. They're calling it Glimmering Greenhouses, and I, for one, am very sad I won't be able to see this in person. Get your virtual QR Lightning Lane skills sharp for this next one. Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind will have a holiday overlay as well. There's not much detail on this, but I bet we can at least expect some holiday classics as we hurtle through space and time. Finally, Spaceship Earth will continue its magical spectacle of lights as it does every night. The twist is, the new lights will form shapes like snowflakes and stars as they cascade across the park's icon. We mentioned the ongoing candlelight processional last time, so I'll skip over that news. By the way, sorry for being out for a few weeks. Stage shows during the day bring life, celebration, and music to the World Showcase stage during the day. Storytellers are returning to the showcase as well, passing on traditions of the many countries represented around the lagoon. Food abounds, with traditional festive recipes highlighting the flavors enjoyed around the world this time of year. There's also a new scavenger hunt featuring Olaf. The scavenger hunts are always a blast, so be sure to check this one out. If you're heading to Walt Disney World this time of year, make Epcot a priority. The International Festival of the Holidays is a can't-miss event. There is so much to see, do, and celebrate. And remember that there are still rooms available on discount right now. Save up to $400 during many dates from December through March. A total of 12 resorts are discounted $100 per night, with another 5 at 40 per night and 4 at 20 per night. Don't you deserve a little time away this time of year? Come on. Let's leap across the ocean. Disneyland Paris has plenty of holiday spirit going on, but they also have a new restaurant in Fantasyland. Themed to the Italian Riviera, Pizzeria Bella Notte is packed with references to last year's film Luca and the classics Lady and the Tramp and Fantasia. Hong Kong really does the holidays right with exclusive merch, lavish treats, special photo moments, plenty of shows, and something that never took root in America, Duffy. Duffy is everywhere in this park, including a stage show with some of his favorite friends. Jealous? Take a trip. Oh, holy cow, out of time. Aulani has discounts in Hawaii from 25% to 35% on 5-night stays in January through March. Whoa, And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, Concierge. We look forward to planning something special for you and yours. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Well, thank you, Eric, for that great information from around the rest of the Disney universe.
Now let's get to the news.
With the return of Bob Iger as the CEO of the Walt Disney Company, there has been a lot of speculation. Well, Bob held a town hall with Disney employees that was broadcast to the entire company, where he answered a lot of questions. Among those were the parks reservation system, which Iger said he had not used, but we'll have to ask Josh tomorrow about. Overall, the tone was refreshing compared to that of Bob Chapek.
The thing that, from what I was seeing from people that listened to the actual town hall and reporting on it, the thing that stood out the most to me and I think really needs to change is basically when asked about the parks reservation system, Bob Iger's response was that he had never used it. So if you think of it from that lens, you don't really understand there's no way for the executives and the people making the decisions to understand what that feels like or whatever. So I think the first thing that they need to do is they need to pretend that they are us normal Disney fans and they need to purchase Disney tickets, make their own reservations. And I think they need to take some time to experience the park as a guest would experience. I want them to be experiencing mobile ordering. I want them to experience standing in the standby lines, all that sort of thing. I think that to me, that spoke volumes more than what it probably was intended to speak. But I think that if they just took a step back and really put themselves in the guest's shoes when it comes to the parks, I think things would maybe be a little different, maybe work a little smoother. But he kind of, from what I saw of that, or what I read about what it was, he kind of looked at, you know, he just didn't really know how to answer that question. So I think it'd be interesting for them to kind of, like I said, walk a mile in our shoes,
right?
Experience it, see what it feels like to be in that position.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that you make, and it is, you know, obviously when all of these executive people go in, they have tour guides.
In the back door too.
Yeah, they come in the back door. They have tour guides that bring them through everything. You would think that somebody in the executive team would go through this process, and even if one of them did it and then could like report back of like what the experience is like. Yeah. Bob in our chat said he needs to go on Undercover Boss. Yeah, kind of a thing, which I think would be helpful. You know, if the executive team really wants to show that they're supporting all their folks, maybe they should go work in these different positions and be like, okay, what, like the Undercover Boss situation where you can work these locations and see what's working, what's not working, like on the front lines. Because a lot of people come in, so obviously some Disney people have worked their way up through the parks.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But I would say there's also a bunch of people who have come from other industries who've never worked in the parks. Mm-hmm. And some of them, I would even venture to say, have never been to the parks.
That's possible.
So it'd be really interesting to kind of go in and do those jobs. You know, work in a call center. I worked at a call center before. It's really stressful when there's a bunch of people waiting like on hold to talk to you. I don't know about you, but every time I've called Disney at all in the last few years, like I'm waiting a long mm-hmm. time for things. So yeah, there's definitely some things. I'm glad that the tone came off as like that of trying to learn and trying to understand what's going on. You know, it's smart for Bob Iger to answer questions and kind of feel, you know, read the pulse of everything that's going on, see what the room is like, read the room basically, mm-hmm. and then make some decisions. A lot of people were like, well, he's going to come in and start doing all this stuff. And it's like, he should really kind of assess what everything is going on before you just start making changes.
Yeah.
You know, he was the CEO just a few years ago, but a lot has changed in the last few years. So we'll see. I think when we talked about this previously, I don't think anything is really going to change the parks too much under Iger at this point. I think that he's brought in to kind of deal with the media stuff, yeah. which is what the focus needs to be mm-hmm. for the company right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. He did also address, we talked about the Apple rumor acquisition, and he said that that wasn't something, that that's all just rumors right now.
Yeah,
he didn't say no, but he said that it's speculation right now. So you never want to, in a position like he's in, you never want to say no, because like if something eventually happens, then it looks like he lied to everybody. So it's just kind of like, well, that's not something that we're considering at the moment, is like the safe way to say that. Because you know what they always say never for anything, because stuff happens. But yeah, I don't know. I'm optimistic that the company will kind of try to steer in a direction that the general Disney base is more happy about. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said on the live stream, at the very least, having Iger back is going to be a good morale boost, not only for cast members, but also for the Disney fans. So at the very least, we're going to be feeling happier and feeling better, because he's just a much more, he's got more charisma. He's got more, he's just a better quote unquote face of the company.
Yeah.
Whereas Bob Chapek was more of the kind of behind the scenes and like the numbers guy more so. Yeah. So the thing that I'm just the most excited about though, Iger was quoted this, like, it may have been like the first day he was back, if not within the first couple of days he's back, basically that they're going to start the decision making process. They're going to start with the creatives and then go to the finance stuff. Whereas before, I think it was flipped. They were going finance first and then they'd bring the project right to the creative. So, and we've always said this, the company seems to work better when you have the right balance of creative and finance, the business end of things.
Yeah.
Walton Roy,
Frank Wells and Michael Eisner,
you know, like it's always done well with the balance. I really wish that they could find the new dynamic duo that could kind of steer the company where it needs to be.
I just had an epiphany when you were saying this. The board should create these positions at the head of Disney, that there's like a chief creative officer and a chief like financial officer, and those people run the company. And so,
well, usually they have those people, but they're under the
that's what I'm saying
CEO.
Is they should be co, like at the top of the
just
of
have,
the
have that be the top
chain
of the pyramid,
and just say these two positions will always co-run this business, and the person who's going to be in the creative position is going to come from the creative side, and the person that's in the financial side has that financial expertise. And I think that if you were to like codify it into like the DNA of the business and kind of say, this is how we're always going to have this structure, that we're not going to have a single entity at the top.
The thing that's interesting is I'm surprised that they haven't, because that's how the company started, right?
Right.
With Walton Roy. They went away from that for a while and they had just the singular person. And then the company was then kind of revived with that dual control again, with the creative and the financial and the business minded person. So again, I don't know who those people would be for them to kind of pull, you know, these people in or these people to the top. But as long as we get better in balance, I think that'll be much, much better for
sure.
We're
on a better path no matter what right now, I think.
Yes, I think so, too. Well, if you have been to the parks recently, you may have noticed fewer characters around the park. Most folks may not notice, since character meet and greets aren't scheduled as entertainment, but character dining guests do. On Sunday morning, no characters were at Goofy's Kitchen for the character breakfast. No word on what is causing the shortages, but we will keep you posted if we hear anything further.
Yeah, I could not believe that for a character breakfast, there's no characters.
There had to have been some big, huge something go on to not be able to have characters. They were offering, I do want to clarify, they did offer folks with reservations, they were offering people to cancel their reservations for free. They weren't going to get penalized or anything like that. So they did take care of the guests in that sense. But I just can't imagine like taking your family or your children to this, you know, character dining experience to then be met with, oh, we're really sorry.
Well, and how hard is it to get these reservations so it's like maybe
Goofy's Kitchen not as bad as some other dining. I mean, you can't just always walk in either, but you know, it's not like Blue Bayou reservations that you have to be right there on the exact right time to be able to get one.
Yeah.
But still, I'm just kind of surprised by this.
Yeah. The other thing too that I think about is the friends of these characters. You know, there could have been a situation with this specific one, right? Because usually a bunch of characters, they probably work closely with each other. If there was some type of COVID outbreak or something, that could be a problem. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to keep track of this and see kind of what happens, if it gets better or not. Because I felt there for a while, we had tons of characters everywhere.
Well, I mean, and who knows? Maybe I mean, this is purely speculation, but maybe the decision was made that there were characters out elsewhere and they decided to pull the Goofy's, the character dining characters, out of the hotel so that they could fill it. I don't know. Who knows, you know? Because I was thinking about that too. Like, they couldn't have, you know, recruited Goofy from DCA or, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, they couldn't have pulled in characters from other areas, but then I guess I don't know scheduling, but then I don't know if there's rules, you know, if you can only be, if you're hired on as a character for specifically this park, this parade, this specific thing, you know, maybe you can't, you know, jump in and help if needed, but it just was very, very
maybe unique. Those payroll hours are billed to the restaurant or something, sure how, and there's a bunch of accounting issues or something.
I'm not sure how that all works, but just very
maybe
odd.
Maybe somebody's listening that does know how all this works, they could send us an email, feedback@dlweekly.net. Well, the Candlelight Processional is just around the corner, so the setup has begun. This year, the annual event is on December 3rd and 4th. Some of the elements are already up in the park with construction walls set up at the Main Street train station. Still no word on who the guest speaker or speakers will be.
I don't even have a, like, an inkling as to who I think it might be.
John Stamos. Because we saw him.
Has Lin-Manuel Miranda?
I think he did. He did one of them.
Did he do one? Okay. Then that was my one guess.
I mean, we've had people do them.
Not a good guess.
We've had people do them.
I know
before.
Neil Patrick Harris. Anyways, but it's exciting. This is definitely on, I can speak for both of us, our Disney bucket list to experience this at Disneyland sometime. I know we've had people that were on our D180 that were poking fun at our Candlelight Processional.
Oh,
but
goodness.
I think ours is so cool because... Right. I mean, they're both very different experiences, but like our Fantasmic, I think what's so cool and magical about ours is that they transition a normal area of the park into this big spectacular. So that's the thing that I think is just so cool about it. I would not like to try and enter or leave the park at this point in time when this is going on, but it just, it looks so, so cool. One of these days we will be there.
Well, you know, if we want to make fun of the Disney World version, it's done at Epcot in like a sound stage.
It is.
So not as cool.
Much different experience between the two.
I wonder, so I had another epiphany. Tonight's a night of epiphanies. Is I wonder if we went on a day that it is scheduled to perform and we got a VIP tour, if we would be able to request that.
If you have a tour scheduled for Candlelight, I don't know.
Because that would be a cool way to kind of skirt into it, perhaps.
I don't know. Over in Toontown, a lot of the plants and new trees have been installed and planted, but there is still paving yet to be done before the land opens March of 2023.
So from the satellite views that MiceChat has of this, it looks like there's one tiny section that's already maybe paved or some pavers or something. And Teresa and I aren't totally on the same page necessarily with this, but it looks like there might even be some like edging kind of done. It's really hard to see. They don't have their normal. When we've seen satellite views and or not satellite views, but like photos from the sky with this before, we've been able to see much more like above, I guess. And this one's
and,
a little off.
Yeah,
to the
and
side.
Multiple photos. We didn't seem to have as MiceChat didn't share as many photos this time as they had in the past to kind of, you know, zoom in on specific areas and whatnot. But it's coming together. It still feels like we've got a ways to go.
Yeah.
March 2023 does not feel that far away. it's just wild to kind of see this come together from the air and from afar. The one thing that I'm trying to figure out is the Dreaming Tree, right? We've got the Dreaming Tree that's being installed. I'm trying to remember where exactly that is in the diagram that we saw at D23 versus, you know, these aerial photos. So I'm trying to see where where that new Dreaming Tree is going to be. I know it's going to be towards the entrance to the left. There is a tree there now, but I don't know if that's the Dreaming Tree.
Yeah. Or, I was wondering that too.
Or
I think it has to be because the play, there's that like walkway area next to it. So there's not really enough room here. This is the main entrance. Mm-hmm. So it has to be that, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll look bigger and grander in the photos, but some of the concept art photos that they had, it just looked
massive.
Very, very large. Yeah. Well, and of course, obviously, we're looking down at it from sky.
Is there a person somewhere in this photo?
Well, I'm trying to look at it compared to like Goofy's house, you know.
Right.
Because I kind of, you know, I have an idea of how big Goofy's house is, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's very exciting to see this coming together. Now that I've zoomed in, I do see that there are some paved areas.
Yeah.
Which that's going to have to come together a little fast for the entrance.
Isn't that like a curb or something?
It might be, or it might just be a, I don't know, some sort of dividing thing or something. But yeah, and January's coming even faster than March, and that's when Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will be opening for all to enjoy.
Yeah, so this little bit of paving looks like this would be like where you would come in and head towards Mickey and Minnie. So I can see that that would be like a priority for them to get done.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, an interesting thing we noticed looking at the refurbishment calendar was that a number of the refurbishments are open-ended. The one that we are most excited for is the Indiana Jones Adventure, which is going down again starting January 9th. We hope that this is the big refurbishment that is sorely needed for this attraction. The Disney Gallery and Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln are also going under refurbishment on January 9th, most likely in preparation for the Disney 100 celebration that's going to launch later in January. Also of note, the first refurbishment for Web Slingers.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mice Chat kind of said that they felt this was a little strange. I think it's interesting to me that it's an open-ended refurbishment. I'm not really surprised that it's a refurbishment in general, because that ride's been open a while, and it feels like most attractions have one refurbishment a year. So I feel like that makes sense that it's due for a refurbishment.
Once a year?
No.
I mean, it depends on what it is. Like, the Matterhorn goes down every year.
Yeah.
The Grizzly River Run, but
that's extended.
When's the last time, like, Little Mermaid went down? Or.
Oh, I suppose you're right.
The Incredicoaster. Like, those things don't go down very often. I just wanted to look because one of the other things about this is when we look at the park hours to try to find, like, the refurbishment schedule. The thing, too, with, like, Indiana Jones is, like, how far out is the calendar?
True.
And then is that going to be, like, is it just that, like, we haven't gotten that far and we're going to have another situation where we have, yeah. So right now the calendar is only out to the 10th.
Yeah, yeah.
So is it, like, another 3 day? And then we're
Right. And that could be any of these. You know, that could be, I feel like Grizzly was just down recently. So the fact that they're going to be closing up again too. It's a small world, makes sense because that's removing the holiday overlay. But yeah,
that's a lot closed at once, though.
It is a lot closed at once, and you've got two of the bigger attractions in DCA closing: Web Slingers and Grizzly. I don't think Grizzly's very popular January, but you know, yeah. So, anyways, it'll be interesting.
Bye, Ace.
Curious to see what happens. Of course, like Tag said, we have high hopes for poor Indy needing its TLC.
Well, hopefully this is the refurbishment that was going to happen before the shutdown, because that was going to replace like the poor bridge Indy and a bunch of stuff. So I feel like we'd be in a really good place with Indy after that.
Honestly, if they could just fix like the boulder, the snake.
Yeah.
Those things.
Those two things like really like, stand out.
Those stand out the most to me for some reason. There's other things for sure, but those two are kind of the biggest like, ooh.
Yeah.
Especially the boulder just feels very anticlimactic.
Yeah. Well, and it's so those two effects are so obvious when they're not working. You know, like a lot of things, you know, if it's not working quite right or something, sometimes you can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you've never been on it before. But I feel like the snake and the boulder are things that you're like, this doesn't seem right. Like, even if you've never been on it before, it's like, what are they trying to do here? Mm-hmm. So my thoughts anyway.
Well, one of our favorite spots along the Rivers of America has wrapped up work and should be open to guests any minute now. The dock across from Big Thunder Mountain has been behind walls and having the deck replaced for months now. As recently as this weekend, chairs and tables have been set up and the walls have come down, but the area was still blocked off to guests. We are excited to enjoy this area again on our next trip. It is such a like relaxing, cool, hidden
it's a great spot to record a podcast because it's like you're not in the way of anybody. Mm-hmm. You're kind of off the beaten path. So people aren't like the one time we recorded right along the Rivers of America and people kept walking by us and looking at us like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing. But it's just a nice little spot. And I feel like it's usually pretty easy to find like a spot there You know, like, yeah. A lot of places, like Pelican's Landing, like, it's, you can never find a seat
Very
there.
Popular over there.
So, I like this. I wonder what took so long. I think that there's some infrastructure under there, yeah, for Fantasmic or something, or pumps for the, you know, for the rivers or something. But, so maybe what took so long is maybe it's a COVID, you know, getting the parts situation that they were waiting for. But, well, I'm glad,
really,
it's coming back.
I could see not getting that moved along quickly, not being a very high priority,
sure,
because it is kind of a quiet corner of the park, so it's not that big of a guest impact for it, yeah, to be closed for an extended period. Just weird DL Weekly podcast people.
I love it, though.
I love it over there, too. But so it was like stuck out like a sore thumb to us that it had been closed for so long, because it was just one of our favorite areas of, mm-hmm, the, to kind of like...
Yeah, if you grab a chimichanga there, or like there's that cart there that sells all that crap. Mm-hmm. Like, if you, it's like right there. It's a nice seating area for it. It's great to people watch because you can watch stuff on the river. Oh, you can look over and watch all the stuff people going by.
Watching
by
the river there. Oh, it's so fun. So fun.
Mm-hmm. Weekly Tears who love a good Monte Cristo should head to the Magic Key Terrace soon. A new Monte Cristo corn dog is now available for $20. It includes two corn dogs, a side of garlic waffle fries, and is covered in cheese and strawberry Thai chili jam, a wine port jelly caviar, and berry compote. Most of the inside of the corn dog is cheese, and the Thai chili isn't that spicy at all.
This looks so good. Not that we needed to add things to our food list for our upcoming trip, but I think we should maybe try and head up there. A, we have not been up there since they've done, like, since the finish, redecoration. Yep. And B, yum.
Well, I just wanted to say the Disney food blog has this one sentence, two sentences, and I was sold. The fries, on the other hand, came out piping hot, crispy, and absolutely covered in garlic. If you're a garlic fan, you'll love these, but they may be overwhelming for others, which to me sounds like a perfect amount of garlic. Because we go to Blaze Pizza, and I always, mm-hmm, say, please put an unhealthy amount of garlic on there. Mm-hmm. So this would be, for me, I feel like...
And then the next picture... Tons of garlic, yeah, is what it's captioned.
It's it looks really good. I want these garlic waffle fries probably even more than I would want the hot dog.
I'm excited about this.
Or the corn dog.
I'm excited about this because I enjoy Monte Cristos, but I don't enjoy, like, they're very rich to me. So I like having, like, a bite or two of a Monte Cristo. Maybe. If I'm feeling crazy, a half of a sandwich, but there's no way I could ever do a whole one. But this concept is very interesting to me. It looks very yummy.
We might have to order one of these.
I'm telling you. Just order one. We can share it.
Well, I'll eat all the fries.
No. I get to have at least two.
Okay.
And I'm only eating one of the Monte Cristo corn dogs, because eating two of those would be too much. A reservation isn't required for some of the holiday activities around the resort. Downtown Disney has a large selection of treats, crafts, and, of course, unique shopping items.
So the first thing, of course, on this, the link we have in the show notes goes to the Disney Parks blog. One of the first things they have, of course, is all these, like, treats. What are these? They look delightful.
Those are from Salt and Straw. Holiday scoops from Salt and Straw.
Look, so good. It looks like
be the different holiday flavors they're offering.
I can't tell, like, the size of them, but they look good.
I just enjoy that they're in, you know, like
Mickey shapes.
Yes.
And then there's, like, this cupcake looking.
Yep, a gingerbread cupcake from Sprinkles. Oh. And we've talked about the making maple and bacon glazed beignets from Ralph Brennan's. Oh. All sorts of delicious foods. Yum, yum, yum.
Of course, they've got a lot of merchandise and stuff that you can find at all the different places there that are all kind of holiday themed. They've got the holiday pop-up cards that love pop. They've got some World Cup gear from Pele Soccer.
Over at the Tanea Stone Spa, there's a Candy Cane Lane foot treatment with a refreshing peppermint cocoa foot soak scrub and a minty massage.
Well, look at their little stuff. There's little Mickey as well.
I know, it's a little hidden Mickey in their bath, like the salts or like sugar scrubs or something there. And then also there's the Underneath the Tree signature massage.
Ooh.
That combines customized massage techniques with the scent of fir, California lemon, wild mint, and eucalyptus. Ooh.
Of course, there's live entertainment that'll be throughout the season, which features Holiday Harmony, which is a group that'll perform there, along with the Moonrays and the Sugar Plums in their Holiday Finest, performing at the stage there Fridays through Sundays from 5:30 to 9.
So much fun.
From November 25th through Christmas.
So, so much fun. And then, of course, the toy drive with Toys for Tots. We reported how this has been going on for years. Disney was actually founding a sponsor of the program back when it began in 1947. But you can donate new unwrapped toys in person through December 12th. And they have bins located throughout the downtown Disney district near World of Disney, over at Star Wars Trading Post, and also at the three hotels.
So, lots of stuff that you don't even need to go into the park for happening in downtown Disney. And I can tell you from when we've been there, not been able to go into the park for various reasons. Downtown Disney is always nice to enjoy the atmosphere and kind of people watch. We have the holiday decorations got up there. We reported on that last week. So,
oh gosh, yeah. Don't forget to go check out especially the Grand Californian Lobby to see their big, beautiful tree. But more importantly, the gingerbread hotel that they create too. I think those big food, I don't want to say displays, big food sculptures that they do in the California, in the Grand Lobby are just, they're so cool. I find myself always having, if there's one there when we're visiting, I have to go see it.
I'm still jealous of the full-size gingerbread house that they build at the Grand Floridian in Florida.
That is cool.
With the gingerbread shingles and stuff.
Walk in it, because don't they sell gingerbread from it? Mm-hmm. It is very cool. Very, very cool.
They should build something like that for the Grand California. Mm-hmm. I just think that the lobby of the Grand Floridian is so large that they have room for that, where it is very grand at the Grand Californian too, but it's not as open, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but this all sounds very, very good.
Psst. Avast there. It'd be too late to alter course, mateys. And there be trivia questions lurking in every cove, waiting to be answered. Listen close and keep your ruddy Disney knowledge handy. That be the best way to answer correctly. And mark well me words, mateys. Dead men tell no tales. You come seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where we've got four great new listeners, well, new to me, I don't recognize the names, that have got some awesome questions for you. Are you ready to see what they've got?
Do we have a choice?
No.
I'm excited.
Do we have a choice? Well, glad Teresa's excited. All right, well, let's see how you do. Ready?
I need help after last week. Yes, ready.
We all need help right. after
Excellent.
Last week.
Your first listener submitted question from listener Sarah P. At the end of Pirates of the Caribbean attraction, you could see Jack Sparrow sitting in a lavish chair. What live action movie did this chair come from?
I'm guessing that this came from one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. So I'm going to say it probably came. What was the second one? Dead Man's. Is that the second one?
I don't know.
That's what I'll say, but I'm probably wrong.
Can we have a hint?
It's not a Pirates movie.
Well,
I was going to say, I don't think it's a Pirates
after
movie.
After I locked in my answer.
Yep. I'm thinking about what that chair looks like and trying to think what movie.
Would it have come from?
This is like very left field, but I'm going to put it out there because I feel like that chair would fit in this movie. Which one though? I feel like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe movies.
Chronicles of Narnia.
Chronicles of Narnia.
All right. So we have the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie and Chronicles of Narnia. Final answers?
Yes. You want to go with the Pirates movie even though we got a hint?
Well, Chronicles of Narnia. I'm trying to think what else. I'm going to hitch my thing to you, and Chronicles of Narnia is the only, that seems like an okay enough answer.
All right. Your second listener submitted question from listener MEP. What is the name of the little man of Disneyland?
Oh, it's...
Oh, Patrick. Patrick. Ooh, dang it.
Patrick what?
Dang it.
And I do need first and last.
Wait, she got Patrick. Finnegan? No. Finian?
I have the book. This is even worse. This is one of my Christmas presents from Vern last year.
Do we need to put a 10-second timer on you?
We need to start coming up with a timer for trivia, probably.
Yeah. 10.
Oh, nine, oh, what?
It might not even be Patrick.
8. 7. six, five.
Now I just think of Darby O'Gill and the little people, but that's the movie.
Three.
Are you going with Patrick?
Patrick O'Gill.
Two.
O'Gill?
One. O'Gill. We need an answer.
Patrick O'Gill.
Patrick O'Gill. And Teresa, final I'm answer, please.
Patrick O.
So we have Patrick O'Gill and Patrick O.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And your third regular round question from listener Perry G. What is the oldest living thing in Disneyland?
Living. So it's not the petrified thing. So is it that, what's it called, tree?
The tree right next to the Jungle Cruise?
The
We're doing terrible.
The
Dominguez.
Dominguez tree.
Dominguez tree, is that your final answer?
I think so.
Yes.
And your fourth and final regular round question, submitted by, this is a three-listener submitted question.
What?
From listeners Demetrios, Nectarios, and Christianos. I'm guessing relatives. How many babies have been born in Disneyland?
Oh, there have been babies born. It's not a ton.
I'm going to say 16. It was the first number that popped in my head.
Oh, see, I thought like three.
I mean, that's possible.
You're saying 16?
16.
I'm going with three.
You said it. That was the first number that popped in my head, so I'm just going to go with it.
All right. So 16 and three. Final answers.
Final.
All right. And your bonus question, where were they born?
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know. In the parks.
Yeah, nope,
I'll
know.
I'll give you a hint. Assuming that medical crew was able to get there, where might they have taken them?
To the baby chain, the first aid?
To the first aid.
To a first aid station? That's good for partial credit.
Okay, first aid.
If they couldn't get to a first aid station, would they have at least gotten them to a
backstage?
Back room?
Backstage.
Oh, wait, that's nice. All right. Or...
You're about to give us answers.
So much
of...
pity on us.
Or maybe if they were trying to get to their own car, it might
the
have happened
lot?
In
the
parking
in a parking lot. Hey. Or maybe they couldn't quite get to the parking lot. They found a bench near the
Esplanade.
Which is also called the entrance.
Entrance?
Hey! All right. We could even give a point for getting those answers.
Those are terrible.
We've done so poorly today. The bird's like, just take the answer.
Just take it.
Well, listeners, how did you do listening at home? How do you think Tang and Teresa did tonight?
I don't think very well compared to what you were just giving us.
Well, if you stick around until after tonight's discussion, we can all find out how they did together.
Well, for our discussion topic this week, producer James says he's got something for us. What is it, James?
Well, it's been like 36 weeks since we just sit and chit-chatted about whatever Disney things came to mind.
36 weeks?
It was like episode 226,
who's counting?
I think so. But who's counting, right?
Apparently.
My show is not getting good ratings if I'm going to host a talk show and kind of late night theme it with you two of just a smattering of Disneyland related topics, weird questions, and maybe one or two games to play along the way.
Games even, wow.
Yeah, you know, we're just going to have some fun and see where it takes us.
Is this like the Tonight Show with producer James?
Yeah, something like that.
Jeez, okay.
Where is Vern with his ukulele to play me into all this music though, right?
Okay.
So... You know, you two, thank you for joining me tonight. Hot topic, obviously, is that new CEO. So I want to put you two in the CEO seat. If you were hired, and you know, typical interview question, what are you doing day one when you get to the park or to your office? What's that first thing you're doing on day one?
I'm grabbing a coffee.
You're like, you're going to ask your assistant, because you'll probably have an assistant, to go get all of the cold brews.
Yeah. Let me taste all of the cold brews, please.
You're going to go down to the tasting kitchen where they're like developing the next cold brews, and you're like, taste test time.
Yep. Okay, so I would grab my coffee. I would have to go to, I'd get in trouble. They would fire me my first day. I would have to go to Imagineering and go hang out at Imagineering and just soak that all in.
That's it? You just like go hang out and...
He just said, what's the first thing you're doing?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, first thing.
I think that it's probably not going to be popular with half of our audience, but it'll be really popular with the other half of our audience. No more Lightning Lane. No more Genie Plus. It's all standby all the time, folks. All standby all the time.
Wow. No research, just nope, gut instinct. Exactly. We're just cutting this out.
Nope.
Are you surprised?
And I'm gonna find some way to put it in the rules of the company that's very difficult to change somehow, that it will never go back.
What?
Wow.
I don't know how you're gonna do part two there, but
you gotta... You're CEO, you can do whatever you want. You just gotta be like, look, it needs, you know, 90% of the vote of the board to put it back.
You also have a board to have to convince to take it away.
Oh, well, you know.
So you're going to try and convince the board to take away Lightning Lane. First thing.
I'll be like, okay, you guys tell me what you want. I'll do all of those things.
Oh.
But you have to go along with the Lightning Lane going away.
That sounds mighty dangerous. Yeah. See, I'd be okay with Lightning Lane. Feel like we've said this.
Oh, you're saying
times.
You just gotta just make raise it more expensive.
That, yep, just raise that price right up so it evens itself out. Kind of like same thing with VIP tours. If you made VIP tours a fraction of the cost that they are now, everybody would have a VIP tour.
Well, it seems like there's a lot more VIP tours. So are you saying that they should raise the price of VIP tours? Because it seems like more people are doing them now than they used to.
I don't know if more people are doing them now or if we're just more like aware of it and aware of it. That'd be a good question for Philander.
So I'm going to throw it back to you, James. What's the first thing you do?
That's a really good question.
Oh!
I think I'm most interested in milling around kind of backstage and just kind of taking in what a typical day in the life is of the cast members, just to see what I've missed over the past however many years it's been since I've really seen it and try to just get a grasp on what the experience is to try to understand that a little bit better.
James, such a people person. You know what else I realized? We would have unfettered access to everything. So we wouldn't go have lunch in Club 33. We wouldn't go wander around in like throughout the bowels of the pirates.
You picked the weirdest thing to do first thing. You could have explored.
Because I want something that will...
You want to make a statement.
I want to make a statement. And I want the park to be like it. I want it to be like it was back in my day when I used to go all the time.
I mean, your
annual passes, $220 for the premium with parking. Boom.
Mine's very self-centered and just like being a Disney nerd. That's why I'm like, I'd probably get fired because I wouldn't do anything just except
getting over to Imagineering would be pretty awesome though.
Be a nerd.
That's got to happen.
Well, are you over there like green lighting things and cutting things, or are you just looking at
things? It's the first day I'm there, so I gotta just look at things first because I don't know what to green light and what to cut.
I want to know who the rising stars at Imagineering are right now, like, you know what I mean, like who are the up and comers. We don't know. Yeah,
I would be finding that out because I'm at Imagineering. You're just mandating new rules.
Yeah.
And then
rid
trying
of lightning lane.
Bury things, make it impossible
in the bylaws
to undo.
And stuff. Yes.
Bureaucracy.
Yeah.
All right, this segues nicely. I was going to ask this a little bit later, but I'm curious. What's your unpopular Disney parks opinion? And while you come up with these, I got some hot takes from the internet that I'd love to get reactions.
Okay.
So we are all over the place on these. Some of these are not as hot as the others. So we'll start a little mild.
Okay.
Winnie the Pooh is a great attraction.
Oh. I think for kids like Winnie the Pooh.
I think I'm okay with Winnie the Pooh.
I think Winnie the Pooh's great. Yeah. I just think it's out of place. Next one. Grizzly Peak is the best themed land at the resort.
It is pretty well themed.
This is hard for us, like, hardcore Disney park nerds, because we probably agree with all of them. Like, oh, nope, yep. That makes sense.
I mean, I think
it's not going to be a no.
Best themed Grizzly Park.
Best themed?
Yes, best Grizzly
Park. I don't know. I feel like Galaxy's Edge is really well themed.
Probably not best themed, but it is well themed.
Yeah, it's well themed, but not maybe... Oh, Cars Land. Yeah. That's a great point, Kate.
It's like, again, making me have to decide with things. I appreciate each land for its own thing.
I love all my children equally.
Except for Tomorrowland.
Yeah. Okay, what other hot takes you got, James?
Turkey legs are overrated.
Yes, I
turkey
agree.
Turkey legs
yes, they are overrated. And that's because the only one I've ever had was broken, probably. But they're kind of greasy and, like,
I mean,
I don't know.
That's just turkey legs, though. Turkey legs are just not my cup of tea. So, yeah, I would agree that they're overrated.
Do you know what I would die for in the parks? Is I've got this kick lately, and I don't know why. I haven't even had one in a while. Is, like, I want, like, a really good turkey thigh. Not
that
turkey thigh, like a
really,
chicken thigh. A thigh
like,
of a chicken
like really
thigh.
You had a turkey thigh.
Sorry, I meant chicken thigh.
Well, yes, go on.
Parades and fireworks cause terrible traffic jams and aren't worth it.
Oh, no, that's definitely not the case.
No.
Yes, they do cause traffic jams. Yes, especially during my favorite fireworks, the 50th anniversary fireworks, where they had to close down so many things because of the fallout. Mm. That was an awesome show. Do I think that it's worth closing all that stuff down? No, I wish they would find a way to not have to close part of Fantasyland down for the fireworks. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, that's unfortunate.
I get it, because if you're not an entertainment, if entertainment's not your thing, yes, trying to navigate the park when you've got a parade or fireworks going, it feels like you're the lone fish swimming upstream.
Well, do you know what used to cause this to not be a big of a problem? The Skyway. Because the Skyway would take you from one side of the parade route to the other, like over the parade route. Mm-hmm. So that was helpful.
That was helpful.
So
maybe if I'm CEO, I put the Skyway back in.
I mean, the Skyway's amazing.
I think that was my hottest of hot takes I got, but I got a few more for you. And I have a feeling this one might fire Teresa up. Haunted Mansion Holiday is better than the original and should stay all year round.
That's tough.
I don't think... I have a hard time with this question because people ask me which one I like better, and I like them equally. However... I don't know if I like them equally, but I enjoy both of them. And Kate in the chat just said it exactly correctly. It's special because it isn't all the time. So if you had it constantly, I don't think people would be as excited about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
The holiday version.
I agree. I wish.
And same thing with even the regular version, because after a while with the holiday version, then you just are craving the original. Because like I get very sad that the Hitchhiking Ghosts are not around in the holiday version. And they're like, right? Classic Haunted Mansion. It doesn't quite feel the same without them there.
I wish that they were like, I wish in my imagination they could clone the Haunted Mansion and have both attractions running.
No, I wouldn't want it cloned. I'd want Nightmare to have its own original attraction.
I don't know why they haven't, other than the fact that they have Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Yeah. And space. And where would you put it? Currently in the parks right now, Nightmare Before Christmas,
I mean, where
doesn't
would it even
easily fit anywhere. So if we had our Villains Land, like, which would be amazing, you could put it in Villains Land because they're kind of misfits. They're not really villains, but they're also not really good guys.
So what you're saying is behind Big Thunder at Disney World.
Yeah.
Just imagine what might be behind Big Thunder at Disney World.
Don't get me started on that. Hot
what
takes.
Was your original question, Jace?
Any hot takes? Like,
what's your unpopular Disney parks
unpopular opinion?
Do you have one to add?
I feel like I have lots of opinions, right? Because like,
but no, unpopular though. Unpopular. Like, ones that people would fight you and be like, no.
Well,
way.
I think before the pandemic, people would fight me about MaxPass or FastPass. That getting rid of that would be a negative.
I would say though, the hard thing is
the balance.
We had the balance before. We don't have the balance now.
Yeah. Let's see. Hot take.
And I think a lot of people agree with you, so that's not really a hot take anymore.
Yeah. I love Okay. This is probably the craziest thing I
would say. I just heard you start to say something. No. I'm already upset.
You should be upset, but it's worse than you think probably. So, I know people love Cars Land. I love Cars Land. Like, it's nothing against Cars Land specifically, but honestly, I feel like in my mind, if DCA were to disappear, it wouldn't bother me.
That is an unpopular
fighting
take.
Words.
That could
You're
be fighting
getting
words.
Rid of the Animation Academy.
Oh my god! Of all the parks, the Animation Academy.
Yep, I love the Animation Academy.
Just because I remember, I think it's because I remember a time when DCA wasn't there, and I still liked going to Disneyland.
But,
and if on a trip, you told me we could only go to one park, it would always be Disneyland.
Yeah. No,
so,
for sure. Yeah.
Why does DCA even need to be there?
It has its own magic. Thank you.
I also know that there's a lot of people in our audience who like DCA better than Disneyland. And they're probably spitting mad and writing me terrible
yeah,
emails
you,
right now.
Go for him. Don't go for me. DCA definitely has its place. It's not Disneyland is always first in our hearts. 100%. There is way more attractions.
Sure.
There's just it just feels more magical because of the history and whatever. But DCA definitely has its place. The one thing that I love DCA for that you just couldn't do in Disneyland well think of all of the festivals that we have in DCA. Yeah. You could not in Disneyland.
That's correct.
You could not. So you'd be wiping out all those festivals, too.
I have another hot take that has to do with DCA.
My gosh.
No, because it keeps coming to me.
Do you
like,
want
as
us
I'm thinking,
to have a podcast when we're done? Split up after this.
World of Color kind of sucks because it doesn't have a good storyline to it.
No, I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's, yeah.
Like, I would love it so much better if they were to redo it where it would have a cohesive storyline like Fantasmic does. Like, Fantasmic has a story. It seems like there's a bunch of disjointed things, but it works together in a story.
Yeah. No, that, I wouldn't say that's
so
a hot
take. So I wish that's
your
my,
hot take was demolishing all of DCA.
That's the saddest thing that I think about with World of Color is, like, I never think to want to really watch it.
I like it.
I find it spectacular, but I just, I want a story with it.
I like it, but I'm not as drawn to it as I am Fantasmic. But then there's other people on the other side of the spectrum that say World of Color is
better
than Fantasmic. It's just, I guess it depends on what it is that you're liking. I like, as we all know, the physical aspects, like the actual characters and things, physical things, the dancers, all that stuff in Fantasmic more so than the screens, whereas what's World of Color? Lots of screens. The thing that I like the best about World of Color is actually the fountains.
Oh, yeah.
Colorful and spraying. I don't care about the
it looks like paint.
Things. It does.
It's amazing like how it looks like bubbling paint. Mm-hmm. That it's so vivid that it's like, it doesn't look like water. It looks like paint. Yeah. And I love that. I also love, and I like this in Vegas too, I love when they do the really high jets of things. And of course, the giant fireball is pretty dang awesome. I just wish they could fix the pal around lighting.
Yeah.
Because there's something up with that I wish they could figure out. But
I don't think I have any hot takes.
James, do you have any hot take?
My hot take I had prepared for this was I think park hopping is overrated and unnecessary. Yeah. Though I think that's as hot as Tags takes.
Yeah, well, Tags demolishing
you said hot.
Half of the park.
You the resort, half the resort.
Half the resort,
are spicy, Tag.
Yeah. He's fired up because you made him CEO right away.
I know, what was I thinking?
No, I think I agree with you, James, because like during the wedding trip, if you're not a frequent Disney parks goer, there's so much to do in each park. You could get yourself immersed. And I think it's nice to kind of just be only have to focus and think about one section versus having to think of, things to do here and there. And I think if you have a park hopper, you feel like you need to hop whether you actually want to or not.
My problem with that is, so I think I have some old trauma from the idea of park. So here's why.
What trauma?
When we went for the 50th anniversary, Disneyland was closed for a day. And all we had, and I know this was before Cars Land, and this was before a lot of things, so it's outdated trauma. But at the time, we got halfway through the day and we were bored. We were like, why are we still here?
Just set your happy selves in the Animation Academy.
Solves every problem for Teresa.
Teresa's like, they could just...
You just drop me off the Animation Academy for a day.
My goodness. They should charge separate admission for you just for the Animation Academy. You're like, I would pay it.
It's so cool.
All right.
Move on, James, before we lose a bunch of listeners.
Teresa and Tay, your conversation about where would Haunted Mansion Holiday go all the time segues nice to our next one. If you imagined all of the lands as puzzle pieces in the parks, do you think any of them are out of place, or what would you move where? Lands as a whole, you can't take pieces out. They have to stay intact.
Ooh. I think that area between Pixar Pier and Cars Land is kind of out of place. The Paradise Garden, what is it called, Teresa?
Pacific
Wharf seems kind of weird and out of place because it's just kind of a weird thing. Same thing with that little section of like San Francisco that's kind of in that walkway there. At Disneyland, I feel like Galaxy's Edge is just weird to have kind of back behind Frontierland.
I would move Galaxy's Edge over by like behind and with Tomorrowland. Yep. And then I would use that new space to create my villain's land. That would be my thing. I also feel Critter Country feels a little disjointed to me walking from, I don't know. It feels a little disjointed because I feel like pre-Galaxy's Edge, it was just kind of this little thing off in the distance and not too many people were drawn all the way out there. So I feel like that's quite not the right place, but I don't know where I'd put it instead necessarily. Maybe with Frontierland.
And I think I would agree with most of the chat that's saying Galaxy's Edge, you'd move to a different park. I feel like you could move Galaxy's Edge to an IP park and maybe move Avengers Campus to that same park.
Sure.
And I don't know what you would do where Avengers Campus is now. Maybe like an extension somehow of Cars Land, because Cars Land is just so amazing. I also wish they would theme Pixar Pier better. Like, I know it's not going to happen.
Pixar Pier needs a little bit more love.
But yeah. But yeah.
I'm thinking about DCA now.
Okay. So we've moved on from Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Unless you had anything else you're changing.
No, I think that's...
Well, you don't get to talk about DCA because you're axing it.
I mean, the whole park's just gone, basically.
Yeah, you just got rid of the entire
park. You can move Cars Land, Galaxy's Edge, and... What did I say? And Avengers Campus to its own, like, IP land. I do like Grizzly River Room.
Did you listen to the question? You're making up your own rules here, sir.
No, you can move things around. You're making new parks. Whatever.
Apparently, I should have been more clear, but whatever. Let's have fun with this.
What would you do, James?
I think Galaxy's Edge was the big one. To me, that fits better in DCA. It just goes with what they're trying to do with Avengers. I think it helps with a lot of drive to get DCA attendance to help balance the parks out a little bit better. Ooh. I think it's just a better fit for it if they have
Where
the
would
space.
You put it?
What if you swapped Cars Land and Galaxy's
Edge? Oh, Cars Land would fit behind Frontierland.
Yeah.
Because it kind of visually goes
what
with...
What if you could... There's Thunder. Our puzzle piece. We're going to swap those two lands per parks.
Yeah, maybe. The only thing, like, I'm feeling what Teg is putting down, though, with the whole IP talk. Like, you're pulling the IP back in, whereas by taking Galaxy's Edge out, Disneyland comes back to being non-IP related lands,
yep.
And kind of with the other piece. So I'm like, what could you put in there that could help enhance Critter Country or something like that? Or is there enough room that maybe, like, Bugs Land or things of that sort could come back to help reinforce Critter Country?
But that would be, that's another IP, though.
That's true.
So you just got to get like one attraction out of there. So Heimlich, welcome back. We're on the choo-choo.
I think what you got to do is you got to do like people had rumored for a long time. I think what you do is you take that area back by It's a Small World. If you were to put the new Beauty and the Beast ride from Tokyo over there by It's a Small World, that's a dark ride. It kind of goes along with Fantasyland.
Where are you putting that?
In that area in front of Small World where the boats and everything are, where the monorail just goes around, where the boat dock used to be.
Is that big enough?
Well, okay. I don't know. We're just making stuff up.
You're just shoving your puzzle piece in.
And then you take Galaxy's Edge and move that somewhere, and you put your Villains Land back there, because I think that totally fits, because you can have a bunch of dark rides and stuff. Yeah, the old motorboat area, Kate, where it's already been rumored that they're going to put like an Arendelle or something.
I feel like that would be hard. I just don't know. I feel like it's not really that big. Maybe it's much bigger than I can tell. Anyways, but I think the big thing is Galaxy's Edge is a thing that feels very...
Out of place
for Disneyland. Whereas DCA's almost gone away from the generic theme land more so, because you've got Cars Land, you've got Avengers Campus.
Yeah, look... If you take out part of Autopia here that's all zipping around, you could put a whole...
Oh, so you'd be taking... I wasn't talking about getting rid of Autopia. I was just thinking
who cares about Autopia? I would much rather have a Beauty and the Beast dark, trackless dark ride than Autopia.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just... To me, the thing that makes me a little nervous with DCA and with IP lands, and I'm sure I'm wrong, is I always worry about the stay, like how powerful and how popular is this thing going to be? You know, is it going to be here forever? Like we have like generic themed lands, but then again, they may know it's popular for a bit and then they just swap it out later. Who knows? Look at Bugs Land. That's exactly what happened to Bugs Land. However, Cars Land, I think, somehow is timeless. I don't know what it is that's just so dang magical about that
area,
but it's just amazing. And the fact with how immersive and how themed they get when it's, you know, just normal, but then you've got the different holiday times of the year, the overlay that they have for Halloween, followed by the overlay they have for Christmas, that's arguably one of the best decorated areas.
Yeah. I wish they would treat the whole park like they did with...
Well, and the fact that two of their three attractions get holiday overlays for both as well. I mean, yes, it's just different music and they put a different sign up. So it's not Haunted Mansion Holiday. It's not Small World Holiday, but it's still cool and still fun.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's time to come back to something a little more lighthearted.
Okay.
And before the podcast, I did promise embarrassing you too. So have you ever heard of the Accent Game?
The what?
The accent game.
Mm.
Oh, good. This is wonderful. So I have two Disneyland Mickey hats here. Each of them has pieces of paper in it. One of them has a spiel from an attraction or a show, and the other one has the accent of a Disney character that I want you to read it in and have your other co-host try to guess it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh. I'll start because this sounds ridiculous.
Oh, it is.
So the spiel doesn't necessarily go, like the voice in the spiel. Oh, wonderful. So what's this one?
This is the spiel, and this is the accent.
Oh my goodness, you have to say an attraction spiel as a character?
I don't even know my attraction yet, but oh my goodness.
Yeah, they don't fit. There's no way.
So she has to guess the character and the...
I want her to try to guess both. I feel like the spiel is going to be easier.
You're
going to
get the spiel right away.
He's really thinking.
I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I could do this voice.
Here, Teresa, you can grab yours to start thinking.
I don't know if I can do this voice.
What is it? The Swedish Chef?
No, I can. No, that'd be awesome. Be like, bird, 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 bird. Okay, here we go.
Oh, no, the giant one, of course.
You're gonna guess the character because I'm all the only thing I can think of for this character is the first thing. Oh. Welcome, foolish mortals.
Well, I got that one.
To Goofy. The Haunted Mansion. Good job.
Goofy the Haunted Mansion.
It was really hard for me not to go like, yuck.
Oh, man, I don't know about my character.
Like, you don't know the character?
No, I know the character.
James, you got another one for me?
Oh, sure.
Did you pull one for yourself?
No.
You're terrible at...
Hang on, you stop focus over here.
Stop focusing over here? Okay. You have a large one. Oh, Jesus Christ. I didn't know there was a name for that person, James.
You're welcome.
Your attention, please. The Disney Unlimited is now arriving from a trip around the Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom.
Okay, so it's the Disney Railroad, but I have no idea who your character is. Do I know this character?
You should.
There's like a lisp in there, but I don't know who it is.
Yep. I don't know if I can do it again. Where is Dylan? Not Dylan. Where's
I think Tara came through for you.
Who's our? Yep. Tara got it. Ding ding ding.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, that was a hard one.
You're talking about
I was the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, you're talking about where's the last time I talked to him? It's been Andy Mack.
Andy, where's Andy Mack when you need him?
Okay.
Keep it good.
Okay, you ready for this one? It's so funny because I only know how to do this. I only know how to do this voice from the actual spiel. So having to do it for a different spiel is just crazy.
It's not even a character. It's just a spiel character.
Let's see.
Yes, there are some just spiel characters.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Recruits, thank you for joining the cause. I can't even do this right.
Oh, you're doing great. I'm with you.
Okay, so it's...
A covert resistance team is led by and has infiltrated the First Order Star Destroyer and is now headed to this system.
Can you do that again? I do not know this.
You voice. Best remove them.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, this sounds like Big Thunder,
Dallas
dude.
Dal McKennon, the Big Thunder safety prospector.
Oh.
And the attraction?
And it was Rise.
Yes.
I'm like, it sounds like the Big Thunder guy.
Thank you. I'm glad you got that. Please give me something that I know.
Go away. This is going to be the last one.
Oh, no.
There's how many more?
There's one more.
Oh, perfect.
See? Then,
one more.
Yeah. I thought James wanted to do one.
Oh, is Jay, do you want to do one?
Oh, no. I'm just here to help you do it.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Tara loves this game. We should do this more often, James.
I'm glad it's a hit.
I don't know how to do this voice either.
Okay.
This almost is the same voice.
Hang on. Stop being distracted.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Glad I'm not the only one.
Remain seated, please. This is terrible.
it's the Matterhorn.
Yes. It's literally like... Six words is all I have.
Paramount Sentados, por favor.
Yeah.
Did you see who I
this
am?
This is, I thought Tang had this one, when he's like, I have no terrible. Idea how to say this. This is bad.
I can't even do it. Like, oh my gosh. I don't even know how to, like, do something
The joy is this person actually does part of their spiel
yes!
in Spanish.
I know, that's why.
Well, doesn't everything do part of their spiel in Spanish at this point?
But it's like an intentional thing that you see the character do it.
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor. I cannot do this. This is so terrible.
Does anybody have a guess of what the heck this is? What is it?
Ah, remain seated, please.
Oh, is it from the tiki room?
Yes, it's Jose.
Jose?
Like, oh, gosh, I can't do... Jose's got such a, like,
oh my goodness.
Weird cadence.
Okay, this one I feel like is almost the same voice. So here you go. You ready? This one, you gave me, like, a paragraph with this one. Let's see. I'm trying to have it in my head so it comes out right.
Teresa, I promise your last one will be easier. Because I know
okay,
who's
here
left.
We go, Teresa. Just imagine if you were standing right here over 60 years ago, you'd be standing in the middle of an orange grove. One visionary man stood here right where you are now, but instead of orange trees, he envisioned a magic kingdom. Do you have the spiel?
No. I was too busy trying to figure out the voice.
Just imagine.
Jiminy Cricket?
If you were standing right here over 60 years ago, you'd be standing in the middle of an orange grove. One visionary man stood right where you are now, but instead of orange trees, he envisioned a magic kingdom.
I know this, but I don't know where it is. This is terrible. Anybody in the chat have a guess on this one?
You're probably, I don't.
Is it male or female, your voice?
Female.
Oh.
I apologize. In fact, in the original spiel, it's
is
female,
it,
too.
Is it Snow White?
No. I'll give you the land. It's in Tomorrowland. The spiel is from, if I had to put it somewhere, I'd say Main Street. But the voice is from Tomorrowland.
The voice is from Tomorrowland?
This voice also goes into Spanish at certain parts.
Oh, the robot from Star Tours. I don't remember her name.
Yes, Kate got it right. It's the Disneyland Forever spiel. And it's Ali San San, the Star Tours safety robot.
I don't feel as bad that it was not like an attraction spiel.
Yeah. Is that forever? Come on, you could. I would have got that. See, if Teresa would have read that, I would have been like, "Disneyland Forever."
Oh no!
This is going to be great. This should have been a bonus episode, James. We could just have one of these bonus episode.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you aboard the world famous Jungle Cruise. I'll be your skipper as far as we get.
So it's the Jungle Cruise, it Casey Jr. or like the Mouse, Timothy Mouse? That like on
you're on the right track.
Wrong mouse.
Is it Mickey Mouse?
It's supposed to be Mickey.
Oh.
I am not Brett Ewen, okay? I thought that was not too terrible.
Because it sounded like, hang on, folks. We're going to, like, on the Casey Jr. Circus train.
Oh, sure.
So.
Oh, man, that was
great
something.
Great job, Teresa.
That was something. The Mad Hatter,
I enjoyed the fact that we were, like, laughing so much about everything. So hopefully you all enjoyed that.
If Jose had a longer spiel, we could have gotten Jose. But that was, like, the most abrupt little spiel.
Goodness gracious.
Poor Jose.
All right, James, what else you got?
Well, you two sound exhausted. And I know it's unimaginable, but if you were this exhausted at the park and needed to take a little nap, where would you go?
Oh, where would you take a nap in the park?
Yep.
Well, Animation Academy.
I feel like you should just have a button that says Animation Academy, and every time it happens, you just hit it, it goes Animation Academy. One of my coworkers at work has one of those easy buttons, and she hits it, and it goes, that was easy.
There you go.
No, I would have picked what is now Princess Fantasy Fair when it was the Carnation Plaza, because at night you could walk through there, and there's like nobody there. It was super quiet. Mr. Lincoln, air conditioned, pretty quiet.
Dark.
You're talking like take a nap like during the attraction? I mean, you could say that about the Tiki Room, too.
Well, I mean, one of
both
our exchange
places
students.
I fall asleep
taking
a nap.
I put Tiki Room.
Producer Vern
much,
fell asleep in the Tiki
loud.
Room.
It's too loud. I think he falls asleep in the Tiki Room frequently. Because he's one of those people that once he's like, does like he goes, and then once he stops, that's usually does it for him. So that's it. But the Tiki Room's too loud for me.
I also used to fall asleep or almost fall asleep on Pirates between the second drop and the battle scene, because it's like cool and it's dark and you kind of got the relaxing boat. Kate saying it's a small world, but then you have dreams of or nightmares of
it's a small
world. The train would be a good one too, depending on the day.
I mean, the train you could sit on all day and just go around and around and around.
I'm trying to think, the only thing in DCA that I could think of to like, if you needed to shut your eyes for a little bit, would be the animation and cat. Maybe, well, The Little Mermaid would be probably the other thing to do.
There's
in
not
DCA.
A really good seat back there, but the bypass that goes behind Grizzly River Run, where the Evil Queen or whatever was.
For the treat trails, it's a little wet back
there. Monorail makes you get off, though, Kate, so I feel like I'm thinking of stuff that you don't have, like, there's no time limit for.
Sure.
Because if you're going to nap, like, for me, I want, like, a longer nap.
That will also, Mr. Lincoln or Tiki Room, you get scooted out, so.
Yeah.
Interesting question.
But you're not supposed to nap for too long. What about you, James? Where would you nap?
I think the Tiki Room feels like a good place. I feel like that music would just be so relaxing and calming, as long as you don't hear too much of the...
Oh, the clicking of all the different things,
Plus, then, you know, it's only like 10 minutes, so it's keeping you short, keeping it not too long, and you can get back out.
Sure.
So. Now, say you had to, like, actually live in the park permanently. Which attraction or building or shop are you going to call home?
Well, the Dream Suite.
Of course.
Well, because you got a bed, you've got a shower. Yeah. You got everything you need.
Okay, do we need to take the Dream Suite off the table, since that's the...
That's too easy, yeah.
Walt's apartment, is that also off the table?
I mean, yeah, let's take those off the table. But good answer.
There's nowhere good in the castle. Like, it'd be in the Sleeping Beauty walkthrough, and that doesn't seem like it would be very good. Is there someplace that's up high that you can get, like, a cool view? Inside the Millennium Falcon.
Ooh,
that would be pretty cool.
That's a great one.
Or...
Then nobody mess with your stuff either.
Yeah. Feel like there's got to be something else that I'm like, oh, of course, why would I have forgot that? I'm just like moving around. The Matterhorn, like up in the Matterhorn would be kind of cool.
Might be a little noisy during the day. Yep. In the Matterhorn, I feel like there's probably, maybe there isn't that much space in the castle since there's the walkthrough.
Yeah. Now, DCA,
I would try
the Animation
and find
Academy.
I would, you know it, one of the second floors on Main Street.
Oh, sure.
I'd live above the shops in Main Street.
It'd be great to live above, like, I mean, you'd probably get tired of it, but like above the, like, the Candy Palace or like the ice cream shop, so you get that, like,
there you go,
smell. Ooh, the attic of the Haunted Mansion.
Like the actual facade.
Yeah.
There you go.
You could do that.
We also have the treehouse, and Deanne's going to live in Pixie Hollow.
Yeah, but you're really out there with the elements if it rains or something. How about you, James? Do you have a spot?
I was trying to think of something. I feel like In the Blue Bayou would be pretty good. I feel like that would be a pretty cool, relaxed place. I was trying to come up with a good idea over in DCA, but I wasn't finding a place. I'm like, that would be a super comfy spot.
The Animation Academy. They have padded benches.
Yes, the Animation Academy. Definitely the right answer.
Maybe the Magic Key Terrace.
Maybe there's a room for me in Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
Yeah, there you go.
The Blue Sky Cellar that isn't open right now.
Oh,
that'd be a nice
go.
Like little apartment you could turn it into.
I'm going to take over one of the Cozy Cones.
That would be kind of cool.
That would be.
Like, oh, no.
The actual hotel.
Avengers Campus, the headquarters building that is just an empty shell currently.
but you'd have
fighting
stomping above you and everything.
I'd be well protected.
Yeah.
Or the Inner Sanctum.
Ooh.
Like behind the door.
I was like, you don't get a lot of cover.
Whatever's behind the door.
All right. Anything else for us, James?
I mean,
but really,
keep going.
I think I'm
going to
leave
wrap
on.
Up.
I'm living on Main Street.
Let's do one more to wrap up.
All right. Time for you two to take a good look at each other. I want you to cast your co-host as a face character you'd see in the park, and then, based on their personality, a non-face character. Stare deep into each other's eyes.
The funny thing is, I look at you and all, like, the thing that sticks out from you the most is the hair, the curly hair. So I'm trying to think, like, who has curly hair? I would say, like, Merida, but it's not red.
No.
But is there a Disney character that has, like, curly hair like you have? Not really. And then personality. Non-face character. What are you laughing about over there, James?
Tara, just right in the chat. Tag, they use wigs.
I know, but like you're saying, like, look at the look.
I don't know who I look like for a Disney character. Don't Don't come for me.
Oh, no.
Your non-Disney face character. I think you would make a wonderful Queen of Hearts because you can be sassy if you want to be.
Oh, sure. I wish
you could go stomping away. You don't have to hang out with kids if you didn't want to.
I wish that, what's her name? Cruella was not a face character because I would pick Cruella's amazing.
Yeah, Cruella. That's why Queen of Hearts.
Tara, I thought maybe Fairy Godmother too. But she's not old enough to be the fairy godmother.
Which fairy godmother, though?
The fairy
godmother. Oh, the blue fairies in Pinocchio. That's right.
Yeah. Queen of Hearts. I like that.
You'd be sassy.
I feel like you would do good at like mini, because I just think of you with the mini ears, too. Like you'd do a good like mini because you're like so sweet and nice to everybody. And like, I don't know. Minnie Mouse seems like a good option.
I like how you're the sassy one and you're like, you're so nice to everyone.
Well, it's true. It's true. I'm looking over at James.
I'm seriously trying to remember like Disney face characters.
Oh, I'm getting included too. That's so nice.
James, I think you would be a good like Flynn rider because you'd be like Smolder.
That would be fun.
Like I could see you playing in that character really well.
I have to look this
non-face character. James, you'd be like a good Goofy or something.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, I don't know if you're tall enough, but
I can hot dog dance with the best of them.
Oh, I could be he's not a face character. Oh yeah, Teresa, you could be Madam Mim. Mm-hmm. There you go. I was like, you can make me Gaston.
That thought did cross my mind.
Thanks, James.
Gaston? No, not Gaston. Oh. You can be Wandering Oaken.
I can be Wandering... Oh, that would be fun.
Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo.
Or you could be the Duke of Wesselton.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, let's see. What other... Oh, yeah, there's Marvel characters. I completely forgot about...
Right.
Marvel mm-hmm. face characters.
I could be a First Order trooper.
That's not a face character.
No, I'm just saying. Oh, I could totally be the cop on Buena Vista Street.
There you go. You can be Officer Calvin Blue.
I would totally be Officer Calvin Blue.
There you go.
I love his outfit. I would totally be that. Now, is there a character, and I'm going to throw this out.
There, you could, Merlin would be a good one for you, too.
Now, is there a character that you would like to be?
I don't. Face I've never really thought of like a character that I would want to be.
James, is there a character weird? that you'd be?
Oh my gosh. Baymax.
Baymax?
Baymax.
Be in that big inflatable suit.
Yep.
Let's see if there was a character that I would want to be. Now, this could just be, I'm not going to say that we look like this or anything. I'm just saying like a character I'd want to be.
Yeah.
Like I think it would be fun to be like, well, Captain Hook would be kind of fun too. Or Jack Sparrow. Like I love that kind of... I love pirates.
I think it'd be fun to be Anastasia or Drizella just because they're ridiculous.
Anastasia!
They're just so ridiculous. I love them.
That name is forever ruined.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
That was a tough one.
It was. I couldn't let you off that easy. I mean, the accents were hard enough, right? Maybe I should have. But whatever. It was a lot of fun. Lots of good laughs. Makes us maybe forget about all those hot takes that we had earlier on, and they'll keep listening.
Have we redeemed ourselves?
You've got a long way to go, buddy. You got rid of an entire park.
Well, you know, maybe in about a year we'll get to do this again, and we'll see how our next talk show episode goes.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this. James, thank you so much for putting it together. If you have any crazy things that you want to send to James or Vern for maybe some type of this type of thing again, you can send it to them at trivia@dlweekly.net. They can get those ideas as well for fun questions, maybe some hot takes. If you guys have hot takes, respond, leave a comment on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. Send us an email, feedback@dlweekly.net. We'd love to hear all of this stuff. That was fun. That was fun.
That was fun.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then you can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out how many correct answers you got tonight. How do you feel about yourself?
Bad.
I just...
Not good.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we got the Dominguez tree.
I got to say, you know, producer James and I, we really do. Honestly, we appreciate all of our listeners who submit questions to us. It makes our job so much easier. And honestly, our listeners, they rock. They come up with great questions that we wouldn't be able to come up with on our own. So thank you very much, listeners. We do appreciate you. And let's get into these great listener submitted questions from new listener submitter, Sarah P. At the end of the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction, you can see Jack Sparrow sitting in a lavish chair. What live-action movie is this chair from? After a hint, you went with Chronicles of Narnia. The correct answer that I was looking for was The Haunted Mansion.
That's awesome.
That chair is in the dining room.
That's good. Yep, I didn't even think about that one.
Yeah.
It could have been around a table in The Chronicles of Narnia.
Could have been. Could have been. Or a similar chair, possibly.
Perhaps it was the same chair.
Your second listener submitted question from listener Emmy P. What is the name of the little man of Disneyland? I gave you half a point because you got half of Patrick's name right.
It was Patrick.
But Patrick's last name is Begora.
Oh.
See, it's because we were stuck on the O.
He wasn't even, yeah. Wasn't even O Begora, it was just Begora.
Just yep. Begora.
O Begora.
Your third listener submitted question tonight from listener Perry G. What is the oldest living thing in Disneyland? Both of you getting that one wrong. The correct answer, older than the Dominguez tree, is the dwarf bolander pine in Geppetto's village in Storybook Land Canal Boats.
Wow.
Estimated to be over 150 years old.
Oh, I need to pay attention next time we are on the Storybook Land Canal Boats. So you said it's by Geppetto's
cottage? It is
cottage?
Behind Geppetto's house in Storybook Land Canal Boats. Wow. It is a dwarf pine. It's like a foot and a half tall, and it's this little gnarled looking pine tree.
Wow.
I've noticed it before and thought it was a really cool looking, bonsai looking tree. Never would I have guessed it was 150 years old.
Wow. That's pretty wild. That isn't a really, we just pulled up an image to look at it. It is a really, really cool tree. Yeah, never would I have guessed. That was a great question.
You know, we need to do one of these trivia times, Teresa. We need to do reverse trivia with James.
But
and
are
Vern.
You just sick of losing?
No, sometimes it's fun to ask the questions.
Oh.
You've done this to us at least once, maybe twice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once or twice in the 260
You came at us with a trivia extravaganza where you hit us with like 50 questions in a row, and we held our own. And your fourth and final regular round question, submitted by listeners Demetrios, Nectarios, and Christianos. How many babies have been born in Disneyland? Tag thought that it was 16, and Teresa thought it was 3. The correct answer, to date, as we record late November 2022, 4 babies have been born in Disneyland.
I feel pretty good about my 3.
Your 3 was close.
I don't know why, but for some reason I feel like with the amount of people who go to Disneyland that there would be more babies born.
They get
born.
Them off property before it happens.
Yep, they scooch them just barely off premises. And your bonus question tonight, where were those babies born? I gave you full credit for correct answers after some coaxing. One was born on a bench near the entrance in the Esplanade, another at the Disneyland First Aid Station, another in a back room office, and most recently in the Disneyland parking lot. It doesn't say which specific parking lot.
I'm gonna argue my 3 because took us to... the one's in the parking lot. That's not the park.
Oh, it's Disneyland property.
Ah, there you go.
Vern took us to the trivia stream and tried to make us drink, and we did okay.
Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Do you think that you've got some great questions that are going to really stump them next week, and you'd like to join our pool of awesome listener-submitted questions? Well, then feel free to do so at trivia@dlweekly.net.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us.
And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.